Thanks, Don. Thank you, Pam. Thanks for that. This is going to be a very short word, but I felt it was important that we have the word as well, obviously. It's encouraging, isn't it, that we have such an example of faith in our midst, you know, in the town. It is encouraging. And if you want to know more, and there's a lot more, as you can tell, that Pam can share about the Rock, then please do speak to her over a cup of coffee or a cup of tea afterwards, and quiz her about what's going on. It's great that we're able to support and be part of that in a small way, so we are blessed. And I should say as well, you know, we are blessed, Pam and I, because we were part of a youth group back in the day, back in Pasture Street, that was quite amazing, actually. And you look back, Pam's leading the Rock. Obviously, I'm here, but the other pastors and missionaries, if you like, that came out of that youth work is amazing. It was only small, 20 or so of us all together, but God has done a real brought real fruit from that over the years. So, praise the Lord. So Pam and I go back a long way. You can see. Well, I want to share about. I mentioned a couple of weeks or so ago that I've been reading in Proverbs, and I want to share just 15 minutes or so, so we will finish on time today, about making plans. And it's quite appropriate, really, because obviously we had planned to have a like a birthday celebration thing today, and we cancelled it because we listened to the weather forecast. It's not a good example, really, for the subject of making plans, really, is it? But there you go. That shows you don't necessarily listen to the weather forecast. And somebody once said, if you want to know how to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. And that's true, isn't it? We can plan this, that, and the other. But I want to just read a couple of scriptures from Proverbs as we start to look at this subject of making plans. And I just want to bring a very simple message along these lines. So Proverbs 16, verse 9 says this: a man's heart plans his way, or a person's heart plans their way, but the Lord directs their steps. Simple proverb of wisdom. A man's heart may plan his own way, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. And also Proverbs 19, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Many plans in a person's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. And I was thinking about this particular subject because of one or two things I'd heard this week. And you know, when you're seeking the Lord, even though you know it'll be a short word, you're seeking God for what he wants to share. And I believe this is what the Lord wants us to hear this morning. So it will be very simple, but I believe it's appropriate. And I want to just look at a couple of examples of situations in the Bible and then relate them to ourselves. So first of all, we're just going to read a few verses from Luke chapter 12. Where Jesus is saying about the rich man. And so Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." That's the overall theme of what the Lord's about to give an example of. And then he spoke to them a parable, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully." So this is not an abstract story. This is a certain rich man. This actually happened. His ground yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, verse 17, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I know what I'll do. I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You can relax. Everything's going to be fine. You've got lots of things. You don't need anything else. You can take it easy. Verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And this account of this certain rich man, God called him a fool. Now, was he a fool because he decided to expand his business, because he wanted to have a bigger business, because he saw the potential for growth, etc.? No, that's not being foolish in itself. His foolishness came down to the fact that he wasn't planning with God in mind. He'd excluded God. He was doing it for selfish reasons. The foolishness came when he said to himself, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. You know, he hadn't counted his days. He hadn't realized that God actually was in control. He was acting without God in his thinking. That's why he was foolish. He didn't involve God in his plans. And you know, so many people that we come across, and I don't know about you, but some of the people that I work with some lovely people, but almost exclusively, there's no account of God in their thinking. And if we're not careful, in society, society can come into the church, can't it? You know, we have to be careful that we take God into account in our planning, in our thinking. And by contrast, in James, there's an example that's a direct contrast to what we've just read there. And you don't have to turn to this, but let me read you from James chapter 4. A man of inordinate wisdom, James, in his short letter. But here in chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. So there we have the complete contrast. Here we have somebody where James is saying, this is what you should do. If it's God's will, if it's God's plan, we'll do this. We'll plan accordingly, according to what God has got. Whereas the rich man, he planned without God in his thinking. So is it wrong for us to make plans for our lives? Okay, none of us are necessarily rich man with a farm to double the scope in, etc. But we all make plans, don't we? We've been hearing some of the plans that Pam had for The Rock. We all have plans for our lives. This week I started to look at the details concerning partial retirement from the civil service. We all have plans, and we start to put our plans together and we start to think about plans. So is it wrong to make plans? Well, Proverbs tells us, no, it's not wrong. We know that it's not wrong. In Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. So in other words, pray about your plans. Pray about what you should plan. God says, commit your works to the Lord. That's what we've been hearing about earlier on, isn't it? How the work of the Rock Foundation was committed to the Lord. And the Lord will establish your thoughts. In other words, he will guide us and he will direct us in our thinking as we commit our ways to him. And also Proverbs 21, verse 5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely lead to poverty. So in other words, don't be rash to make your decisions. Don't rush to make some of your plans, but be diligent in your planning. It's wisdom, isn't it? It's wisdom. And There's another scripture that says that give us a heart of wisdom that we may count our days. If you want to have a heart of wisdom, count your days. In other words, recognize that you are only here for a short time, like we read earlier on, that we are like a vapor that appears and then is gone. And it was my privilege this week to be able to meet some of Audrey's family. Audrey asked me to come round. She was in tears when they just got the news. And all the family were there. And it was my privilege to meet them and to see them and to just talk for a short while with them and try to encourage Audrey as well. But it's heartbreaking to see those who don't have God in their lives. You know, we are very blessed that we have God in our lives. But those who are unbelievers don't have the Lord. They don't have the Lord. And that changes things completely. So although we know that we are only here for a short time, we know that we are in the Lord's hands. I want to read you another scripture from Proverbs and then look at something else. But this is a scripture that you may well have had as a baptismal, or it's one of those go-to scriptures that is very well known, but we often don't really apply it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now that's a promise from God that we can bank on. We can bank on that. Trust in the Lord. You see, God is in our lives. If we are believers, God is in our lives. So trust in him is what this is saying. Don't rely on your own understanding. Don't rely on being able to work everything out, because we don't see everything the way God sees things. But if we acknowledge him in everything that we plan, everything that we decide, he will direct our paths. The difference between having God in our lives and not having God in our lives is that we can trust him in everything. We go to him. We turn to him. I want to contrast the reaction that some people will say when faced with, you know, news of a terrible illness. Will say, well, why? Why is it happening to me? Why is it happening to my loved one? Why has this happened? I heard this week somebody say, we had plans. We had plans. It's so unfair. And your heart goes out, because you can understand where they're coming from. You can understand that heartache. But it's not wise to plan without God. We are not promised tomorrow, as we've read earlier on. And I contrast that with, it was a terrible day really, but when my mum was ill, and we didn't know the scope of her illness, but we knew that she was quite seriously ill. And we were called into the room as siblings, and the doctor gave us the news that mum had terminal cancer. And wanted to share that with us before bringing mum in and then sharing it with her as well. And so the doctor brought mum in after that, and you can imagine there was a lot of tears there. And my sister was saying, why you? Why you, mum? Why does it have to be you? And my mum's reaction to her was, why shouldn't it be me? Why shouldn't it be me? And as I was leading her out of that room to go back to the ward after that conflag together, all she could say was, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. God has been so good to me. And that was the contrast. And that's such a contrast to see when we've got the Lord in our lives. Okay, we still go through that horrible valley, the valley of the shadow of death, but we have the Lord there. What does that psalm say to us? Yet you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. We have the Lord. He's promised us multiple places to never leave us nor forsake us. So yes, we plan according to how we think, and hopefully we plan wisely, but we have to recognize like James said, if the Lord wills, this is what we're going to do. If it's God's will, this is what we're planning to have. So it's good for us to have our plans in place. I wanted to say that we can completely trust God for our future. We can completely trust God for our future. I don't know about you. Sometimes you think, oh, I really want this to happen, or I really want that to happen, or I really, you know, our desires, our plans, our hopes, our aspirations. Don't strive about that. Whatever that thing might be, and I'm sure we all have it, don't strive about that. Commit it to the Lord. We can trust God for all our future. Whatever is going to come our way, we can trust the Lord because he's promised to never leave us. We have that difference compared to those without the Lord in their lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. We can trust, not fear. So even when we have something happen in our lives that is like going to blow us away and it's a terrible piece of bad news, we can still trust because he is still there. We can trust him for all our futures. So the word is, don't strive over your future, trust. Don't strive, because that will rob you of your peace. But we can relax in the Lord, knowing that we can trust him for our future, our plans. Good to have our plans in place, but recognize what's actually going to happen is going to come from the Lord. So hold your plans lightly. Plan, but hold your plans lightly, but trust in the Lord. We can trust him for all our future. Submit your plans to God. Seek him first in making our plans. Let me just finish by reading from Psalm 33. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. But the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. In other words, God's plans stand forever. God knows the plans of his heart. And what does he say to us? I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts to give you a future, plans to give you a future and a hope. And we get to share in that promise that was made to Israel. God's plans for us are what will happen. So it's good for us that when we're making our plans, that we seek his face and ask him to lead and direct us. But then hold it lightly. Hold it lightly, because what happens will come from the Lord. So trust in the Lord, you know, with all your heart. I'll just read that again. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That might be a particular message for somebody here specifically this morning. That's the sense I have in my heart. If so, receive it and pray into it and build on it. Hallelujah. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you that we need to plan wisely. Lord, you call us to plan diligently, to seek your face, Lord, to trust you in all our planning. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you with all our future, all our hopes and aspirations, Lord. We can trust you.